Go 1 Corinthians 13. Last week we looked at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Go on and read that verse. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Loving with our words. One man wrote this, words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively using words of despair. Words have energy and power and with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and even to humble. C.S. Lewis said this, don't use words too big for the subject. Don't say infinitely when you mean very, very big. Otherwise, you'll have no word left when you want to talk about something that is really infinite. Consider this powerful force we have with our tongue, with our mouth, with our words, with our mind that forces out those words. It's important for us to remember that words matter. They count. They are important. The barrage of words that are used today to exaggerate are amazing. We count these. We have this little counter that we're doing at home for how many projects say this. This product will change your life. It could be a toenail remover. It'll change your life. There are words that we hear all the time that leave us wondering, what's next? Threatening words that make us kind of shudder. The use of hate words in politics. We are so divided today, it's unreal. There's no civility. There are racial slurs against people that serve in forces for us in the Army or Navy or as police officers or firemen. Not to mention the racial slurs that go on as well. So today we want to turn our attention to the words that we have and how we can love with our words. Now, I didn't like this sermon because there are too many things that were pointed out to me. And as I struggled with it all week and as I thought about it last night and as I went over it again this morning, I thought, man, I should be down here listening to this today. Words that are important, words that can change our lives. Cindy, don't look at me so hard, okay? Loving words that are so important. Yeah, I felt that just stare just burning in here. So if I have a third degree burn, you know what it is. All right. Father, we've been hurt with words, and we've hurt other people with words. Today we want you to lift that sting away from us, so that we can see how important our words are. So, Father, if there's someone here today that won't hear this message because words have hurt them, would you heal that sting that they have? Would you somehow begin to heal what they feel about those things so they can hear? Father, there's others of us who use our words so powerfully to put other people down in anger and shame. Would you work in our hearts for us to do that, that we might have today a sense of calm that come over us because your Spirit is teaching us how to say words and what words to use to make things better around us. Holy Spirit, make us more aware of the words we use. In Jesus' name, amen. Four reasons why loving words are so important. Loving words are so important because our words matter. Communication is several things. They are words. There's the tone that we use. There's the body language and the eye contact. If I were up here like this the whole time, I would say, Jesus loves you so much. The message would not be what the words I'm using. It would be the body language and the eyes and the tone that I have. You can say this to your dog all you want, but you can't say it to people. You are the stupidest dog I've ever seen. And the tail will wag. But you can't do that with people. Sticks and stones, we might say, will break our bones, but words will never hurt me. But tell that to the young boy who's been verbally abused by his father or bullied by friends around him. Or the young girl who's been put down because she doesn't quite look the way she feels she should look, or others feel she should look, or anybody that's put down for any reason. It's a fine sediment until that happens, and then we know how powerful words are. And James talks about that, so we're going to look at James chapter 3 for a little bit about the importance of words. See, our words matter. They're really important, so be reliable in your words. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. We just did. We just sang all these wonderful praises. At least that's what the songs were designed to do. Maybe you didn't sing or you can't sing. You feel you shouldn't sing because if you do sing, it'll ruin everybody else's singing, which is fine. But you're looking at the words. And we praise our Lord. And then we turn and say something negative about something. With the same tongue, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. He's not talking about swearing. He's talking about defaming people. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Wow. It's a really big deal to be consistent with our words, to develop a reputation of being consistent what we say. It's really a big deal. We don't have to look very far to see what happens when it's not that way. If we're not very consistent with our words, our reputation is shot. So it's really important. What we say is really important, and what we say to be reliable is really important because of our own reputation. Nothing worse than saying, here comes that Bob Klein guy that lies all the time. There's nothing worse than that. Here comes that guy, he's going to twist your arm a little bit to make you feel guilty so you buy his product. You know, I don't like that. I met a guy at our door the other day and I said, selling solar panels. I went, stop. I said, come with me. Look. Well, who did that? We can do that better. I said, look. They're there. Don't even knock on my door next. I don't mind talking with you. I'll even share my faith with you, but don't, I got them already. Look. And they went down the street and saw them. And he went, boy, we're wasting our time in this neighborhood. I said, yeah, I kind of think you are. Yeah. Words must be reliable. Not only that, it's not only just my reputation, but it's the reputation of the kingdom and of the king whom we serve. You know, I worked with a guy once where I said, if you lop off about 65% of what he says, you got the truth. The problem is you don't know which 35 and 65% it is. It's important that we who follow Jesus are consistent with our words. We say what we mean what we say. Our words matter because they need to be reliable. And words matter because they reveal our hearts. James puts it this way. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Well, you may get a rare case where that can happen. But folks, let me tell you right now that springs don't have both kinds of water in it. Jesus said, how can you praise the Father and curse your brother? You can't do those at the same time. It reveals our hearts. Jesus even said, out of our mouth comes the depths of our hearts. Now, think about that a second. Today, sarcasm is embedded into our society. Sitcoms live on it. But more importantly now than ever before, words that are being used to describe military people, describe police officers, what the words that our politicians are using, they matter. And we can tell from their heart comes this stuff. You can always tell. What can people tell about your heart by the words that you use? Are you critical? You got a critical heart. Are you negative? You got a negative heart. Are you full of self-pity? Then you're feeling sorry for yourself. Are you putting people down? Then you're looking for some way to build yourself up. Your heart is hurting inside. I'm not talking about the pump, the thing that pumps your blood. I'm talking about the very being of who you are inside. It reveals who we are. Our words do. Wow. Stop and think about that one a second. When I wrote this one down, I went, ugh. Words also matter because they reflect the fruit of our lives. My brothers and sisters, James goes on to say, can a fig tree bear olives? No. Or a grapevine bear figs? No. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. See, it reflects, our words are reflective of who we are, a fruit of our lives. You can't say you care about somebody and the same breath put that person down. We can't say we care about the homeless and then not welcome them here. Folks, we can't do that. We can't say that our God is an interracial God and then segregate ourselves off. We can't do that. We can't. The only way to make sure our words are going to be reflective of who God is in our hearts is if we're walking in the Spirit. If we're saying, change my heart. That's why I had us do that. Change my heart, oh God. And we put our hands. Did you put your hands up when you did that? And we're saying that, Father, just fill me with your Spirit so my words are reflective of who you are in my heart. Holy Spirit, just bow your heads. Holy Spirit, when we talk, when I talk today, remind me before the words come out of my mouth that I want to glorify you. Remind me, Father, when that person cuts in front of me and I'm driving, not to swear at them, but to just reflect upon, thank you, God, for saving my life. No, God, when that friend or that child or that spouse makes me mad, Father, click in me, Holy Spirit, that my words may reflect who you are, and I may have words of love that come out instead of love, words of anger. Oh God, pierce my heart. Make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving words are important, so use your words to be honest. Use honest words. Billy Joel sang a song. If you're old enough to know who Billy Joel is, then you know how old I am. He's saying, honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Yeah. Honesty is hardly ever heard, but mostly what I need from you. Honest words. Not words that have double meanings or triple meanings. Not words that you can use to make people think, oh, what's he really saying? Do you ever listen to guys on TV, politicians or reporters, and wonder, what are they doing? What did they just say? Kind of scratching your head. And then you know that it's just not going to be truthful all the time. Here's why. If God is in charge of our lives are based upon love. And honest words are love-based. Now, please don't get me wrong when I say this. It doesn't mean all I do is say smiley, nice words to people I love. I'm honest. I'm open. Holy Spirit, guide me as I say those things to the one I love. Paul said this, instead speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. But those parts are built up by truth and love. Think about this for a second. How can you say what you have to say to someone whom you love with a loving tone so it's still the truth but still comes from your heart? That's a trick, isn't it? You can't do it apart from God's power. You can't do it. I can't sit across from somebody who's struggling with something in their lives and try to help them see what's going on without telling them the truth in love. And I can't do that unless I'm filled with the Spirit. I can babble psychology. I can give counseling things. But I can't love them and tell them the truth in love apart from being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm really convicted by this because this doesn't say, quote the Bible in love. It says, speak the truth in love. And sometimes we just have to go to the person and say, look, you know, I love you. But man, what you're doing is really not good. How can I help you work through this? The big difference in going, shut your mouth and get out of here. They're love-based. Honest words are intentionally helpful. Proverbs 27:5. I love this verse in the Living New Testament. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. I wonder what he's trying to say there. He's trying to say this. I can pretend I love you and hide it, or I can really love you and risk it. And I can sit down with you, or you can sit down with me and say to me, you know, Bob, this is, I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you're known as speaking the truth and genuinely caring, then they'll know that you're lovingly caring about them, and you will openly help them. And it begins with your words. It used to be, when I was in church and I grew up and somebody was doing something that wasn't right, kosher or whatever, we would do this. We would disfellowship them. And no one had ever talked to him about what was going on. My cousin Dennis got his girlfriend pregnant. Dennis, you know, Ted, your son is... And Dennis, you're... And never talked to them about lovingly calling them into confession and repentance. And to this day, they want nothing to do with the church or with God. You're not condoning behavior. You're speaking the truth in love. Loving words are always appropriate to the life event. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And this is true because of two basic reasons. First of all, love's focus is always outside of myself. If I say that I love because God loves, I'm always thinking about you first. So when you're talking to me, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to have eye contact. I'm going to look at you and talk with you. I'm not going to be running off on some other thoughts. I'm not going to interject my personal opinion. Nor am I going to try to outdo you with my personal experience. It does absolutely no good for me to sit down with the young couple that lost their baby girl a few months ago and tell them my story about us losing a baby girl. It doesn't mean a thing to them because they're hurting. They just need to know I love them and care about them. Now, I may know a little bit more about how they might be feeling because I've done and experienced that, but that doesn't mean I have a chance to say, well, when we lost our, here's nothing. And all of a sudden minimize what they're going through. And there's no heal. There's frustration and anger. Loving words are always appropriate for the situation. The big word, isn't it? Appropriate. Loving words are important to use. Honest words. So loving words are important, so be careful how you use your words. Now you may say, didn't you just say that? Yeah, but this is the gist of the whole message. The gist of the whole message is this. Remember the little song we sang when I was a little kid? It said, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. It doesn't say there's a Father up above ready to kick you in the teeth. Well, it doesn't say that. But we are in a culture today that shoots our mouths off and interferes. And when somebody is talking, I was watching this talk show the other day where this guy was interviewing somebody from both parties, Republican and Democrat, and he would ask a question. He goes, Joe, I'm just going to use the name Joe and Susie. Joe, what do you think of this? Da, 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 and then Susie would interrupt. And then Joe would come back to him, let me finish. Wait a second, I was talking to her. And the person in the middle was going, All right, commercial break. You know, time out. We are so into ourselves and so into shooting our mouths off and so into believing we have a right to say whatever we want to say whenever we want to say it that we lose focus. And folks, if that's going to change, we have to change it as people of God. So be careful with your words. Careful words respond rather than react to life situations. If we're already ignited with anger, we're not going to be careful with our words. So already we need to be backed off and say, let the person talk. I'm sure you heard this, but I was in the middle of one of my science classes and Mr. Radness stopped the class because I was goofing off again. He said, Klein. And I went, what? Klein. It's better to keep quiet and let people wonder than speak and remove all doubt. Did you get that? It's better to keep quiet and let people wonder than to speak and remove all doubt. Careful words respond rather than react. It says in Ephesians 4, in your anger, do not sin. Well, that tells us right away that not all anger isn't sin. And it also tells us that something may tick me off, but I don't have to take it to the next level. So if something hits my anger button, you ever have your anger button hit? Don't lie to me. Ever have your anger button hit? Yeah. It says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not grieve, give the devil a foothold. Huh. This is the biggest single challenge for me. I'm really good at mumbling my anger. What did you say? I didn't say anything. But I can do that. It's really good to, it's not a good habit to do that, folks. And it's really good to say, that's my button. You can't push it. God, give me the power not to have it pushed. Most of the stuff that I say that gets me into trouble comes out of my reaction to things, not my response to things. Careful words bring peace, not conflict. Proverbs says this in 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Here's a rule I have, and probably why a lot of people don't come to me with gossip anymore, because I am convinced that if somebody's going to come to me and gossip about somebody else, they're going to go to somebody else and gossip about me. So you can just bet that if you're gossiping, you can bet somebody's gossiping about you. In fact, if you don't gossip, you could probably bet that somebody's gossiping about you. Because that's the nature of the beast. But a perverse person, that's a big word, isn't it? Perverse. Well, we think of people that kill other people who are perverse. Or people that are sexually active all the time and always having sex. We think of that as perversity. But a perverse person does what? Stirs up conflict and gossips. Careful words bring peace, not conflict. Let's sit down and talk about this. Careful words never need to be retracted. Whoa. We won't have to say that was taken out of context. Somebody quotes you, that was taken out of context. Well, gee willikers, I read the story of this guy that said, oh, this was taken out of context. I said, no, it's pretty accurate, actually, when you read the whole story. It wasn't taken out of context. When you hear the videotape, it isn't. Yeah, you don't have to, if you're honest with your words, you never have to retract them. In fact, if you're always honest and you have a reputation of being honest, somebody will say, Bob said, Pastor Bob said that, and the guy can go, it doesn't sound like him. Put your own name in there. I just use myself as an illustration. But they could say, well, that's not Juan. Juan wouldn't say something like that. Juan doesn't, because he has a reputation of not doing that. Isn't that amazing? Let me just reiterate this. Be careful what you say and be careful what you post on social media. because it matters. I responded to one of my liberal cousin's tirades the other day by just simply saying this. Dudes, which probably is a fighting word right there, right? Dudes, all politicians lie. All politicians do this. So-and-so should have done this. So-and-so shouldn't have said that. So-and-so shouldn't have done that. And then that just opened the floodgates. Boom, boom, boom. You mean to tell me? I said, whoa, whoa. I said, everybody does. All politicians do this. Yeah. So I just said, I'm going to only put funny things or nice things, personal things on Facebook. I'm not going to go into that anymore. I said that a year ago, and I did it again the other night, and I went, never again. Be careful, little words, little mouths, what you say. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love, and he doesn't like it when I don't use good words. I hurt him. He loves me, but that hurts him, his cause. And lastly, loving words are important. They're so important, so use them to build people up. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I learned something from someone several years ago about how to talk with little kids. And so one of them is, of course, is get down to their level. So I'll get down in little kids' levels, talk to them. But if the kid's in trouble, I'll stand up next to them. But usually I'm down like this. Look at their eyes and then listen to what they're saying. And so the other day, this little kid came in, Pastor Bob, and I said, this is what I learned, and how did that make you feel? Well, I'm proud of you too. And that's all it took. And you know how little kids are, just boop, off they go, they're so happy. But unwholesome talk, corrective talk, unwholesome is a big word that means several things. We always think about the negatives, but unwholesome talk may be that I'm butting in when they're talking, or I'm not looking at them when they're talking, or not paying attention at all. I like this verse because it's directive. Don't let any unwholesome word come out. It's relational, that is not helpful, and it's situational, according to their need. Let me read this verse again to you. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. It's not a general all-for-all word. It means that I sit down, I listen to somebody who's going through their stuff, and I listen to what they say, and then I'll say something that's appropriate for their point, what they're going through. It may be as simple as this. The other day I had somebody who was grieving, came in, talked, just going through all their stuff, and then they looked at me and they said, am I crazy? And I go, pretty normal. The utter relief that came. Because this person thought that was craziness. No, that's pretty normal stuff. Oh, and by the way, there's no prescription for grieving. It's each man for himself. I grieve the way I grieve. You grieve the way you grieve. And there's no time limit to it. It's not 1 month and it's over. Boy, that was relieving for them. So here's some practical challenges and goals that we have that I want you to do this. This is your assignment for the week, okay? And fill in the blank. First of all, kind words, I will, with God's help, use kind words because they transform worry to joy. So I'm going to make a commitment this road to use kind words, because if I don't, it's going to cause more anxiety. So kind words always translate into joy for people. Worry can rob you of happiness, but kind words will cheer you up. Wow. We have this dog. I swear she has ADD. I really do. And she comes in and sleeps at night in the house. She's outside all day. Comes in and sleeps in a little crate, in a little area. And if she comes in all hyper, I'll go, settle down, and it makes her worse. Wait a second, I said settle down, and it makes it worse. But when I go over and go, shh, quiet. It takes her, you know, I'm ready just to strum. But it takes her couple minutes, and all of a sudden she just... And then before I know it, she's laying down and even turning over and let me rub her tummy. But if I get into her stuff, you know, well, we do that with people all the time, don't we? We get into their emotion. Wait. Kind words bring joy. Not more tension. I will, with God's help this week, use gentle words because they can break through anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I will, with God's help, use pleasant words because they encourage learning. It says this in Proverbs 16:21, just as simple as could be. Pleasant words promote instruction. Wow. I will, with God's help this week, a commitment we all want to make, I will use honest words because they have the power to make us feel loved. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Proverbs 24:26. What a great verse. And then I will, with God's help, use wise words because they can heal broken hearts. Proverbs 12:18, and the New English Version says this: thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Wisely spoken words can heal. Next time you just feel like ripping in big time into someone, whether they deserve it or not, because God is wanting you to do this, stop. And reflect upon what we just talked about. And then say, Holy Spirit, and this can happen in a split second, Holy Spirit, fill me up so I can respond appropriately. I don't know how else to say it. You've got all those verses in your bulletin, right? Do like I did, read them again. I hated them. Read them again. And you can see how God can just move in your heart. Father, teach us today to use our words wisely and open us up to you so that we may have the sensitivity that you give us through your Holy Spirit, that we may be like you were on the cross. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're saying. So we can respond appropriately in situations filled with your Spirit. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.